One of the greatest temptations is to just ease up a little bit. The slightest lack of doing your best starts to erode the psyche. Instead of doing your best, doing just a little less than your best. Sure enough. You say, well, it's just going to affect my sales. No, it's going to affect your consciousness. It's going to affect your philosophy. Now you've begun in the slightest way to affect your own philosophy.
You've got to get excited over some very basic things. One is, get excited over your ability to make yourself do the necessary things. Because discipline is major step one toward personal progress. And anytime a person wishes to, they can make major changes in their life, personally and socially and financially. It doesn't ever have to be the same after today. No telling what you could do today if you really wish to. The act of murder is a clear indication that a person in one drastic act can forever change the course of their life. It just happens to be in the negative direction. What I would ask you to do, starting today, is get excited about committing an act. An act that's positive, an act that's constructive, to make the changes in your life that you want made, and to go the direction that you want to go.
Make your failures give birth to great opportunity. Not prolonged agony. Make your disgust lead to inspiration, not depression. The world will willingly sit by and let you wallow in your sorrows until you die broke and alone. And here's what else the world will do. The world will step aside and let you by once you decide that your present situation is only temporary. Once you decide to get back on your feet and make your mark. The world doesn't care which choice you make, to stop here or to go on. The world doesn't really care. So you have to. You have to care. In your own enlightened self-interest, give a run at adventure. Keep your eyes firmly on the achievement, on your ambition, and not merely existence and self-pity.
You got to get going. You got to take action. The disciplines is the miracle process. And here's how to get the miracle of your future going as far as disciplines are concerned. Number one, do what you can. You might go home and set a whole new pace for yourself, and we call it cleaning up neglect. Should walk around the block, could walk around the block for your good health. Don't walk around the block. See, you're on the wrong track. Should read, could read, don't read. On the wrong track. Should call, could call, don't call, on the wrong track. Could change, should change, don't change. You're on the wrong track. Letters you haven't written, conversations you haven't had with your family, somebody you should sit down with when you get back home, get that job done. Don't let neglect destroy your days, destroy your life, and destroy your future. Go back and do what you can. And if you'll do what you can, then life will give you some extraordinary things to do.
Make a commitment to excellence.
This is called the possibility for life change starts with education. Don't be lazy in learning. Don't be lazy in picking up the ideas. Don't be lazy in learning from your own experience. Learning is the beginning of wealth. Learning is the beginning of life change.
We're all aware that many people feel that we must be careful when focusing on money or affluence or abundance. That in the pursuit of those things, there is danger. And I do agree. If you make money your love and pursue affluence to the exclusion of other values in life, you have lost, not won. However, let's consider this question. If you could do better financially, should you? That's not a bad question. In the time you've allotted to labor, economics, success, achievement, productivity, the creation of value, the development of skills and creativity, if you could do better, should you? I think that one of the greatest satisfactions of living life to the fullest is doing the best you can with whatever you have. Doing less than your best has ways of eroding the psyche. We seem to be creatures of enterprise. Surely this is the reason for the seasons. The soil and the sun and the rain and the seed all seem to say, what can you do with us? Do you have the genius to make something unique of us? Life says, here is the raw material. What splendid things can you produce from all there is? So go for high productivity, the full use of your genius, the full development of your potential in all areas of your life, including earning money. That is the essence of an enterprising life. I've decided that enterprise is better than ease. If you rest too long, the weeds take over the garden in the summer. Life doesn't stand still, and random negativity will start overwhelming the positive arrangements of life if you just let things go. So, we've all got to have a positive attitude about activity. Let me give you one of the best examples I know. An ancient phrase states, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might." That's a powerful philosophy. Many people are getting by with using half their might. That may be their own personal philosophy of activity, but how much more could they achieve if they used all of their might? You've got to evaluate that question for yourself and apply it to your own life. Put it on your mental scale and come up with your own answers of how it applies to you. How should you live your life? Are you working to your full potential now? I'm teaching children about the ant philosophy. I think everybody should study ants. They have an amazing four-part philosophy, and here is the first part. Ants never quit. That's a good philosophy. If they're headed somewhere and you try to stop them, they'll look for another way. They'll climb over, they'll climb under, they'll climb around. They keep looking for another way. What a neat philosophy, to never quit looking for a way to get where you're supposed to go. Second, ants think winter all summer. That's an important perspective. You can't be so naive as to think summer will last forever. An ancient story says, "Don't build your house on the sand in the summer." Why do we need that advice? Because it's important to be realistic. In the summer, you've got to think storm. You've got to think rocks as you enjoy the sand and sun. Think ahead. The third part of the ant philosophy is that ants think summer all winter. That is so important. During the winter, ants remind themselves, "This won't last long. We'll soon be out of here." And the first warm day, the ants are out. If it turns cold again, they'll dive back down, but then they come out the first warm day. They can't wait to get out. This philosophy applies to leadership skills. Average people look forward to getting off of work, while successful people look forward to getting on with it. Once you switch from wanting to quit to wanting to work harder, you start to transform your life into the activity. Here's the last part of the ant philosophy. How much will an ant gather during the summer to prepare for the winter? All that he possibly can. What an incredible philosophy. The all that you possibly can philosophy. Ants can surely teach us a lot when it comes to working hard. An enterprising person is one who comes across a pile of scrap metal and sees the making of a wonderful sculpture. An enterprising person is one who drives through an old, decrepit part of town and sees a new housing development. An enterprising person is one who sees opportunity in all areas of life. To be enterprising is to keep your eyes open and your mind active. It's to be skilled enough, confident enough, creative enough, and disciplined enough to seize opportunities that present themselves, regardless of the economy. An enterprising mortgage banker will develop creative financing strategies during slow markets. An enterprising lawyer will study new laws and market herself to people who may need help in those areas. An enterprising salesman will do extra research to find new prospects for his products or services. He will isolate a secondary market and develop another benefit for his customers. A person with an enterprising attitude says, "Find out what you can before action is taken. Do your homework. Do the research. Be prepared. Be resourceful. Do all you can in preparation of what's to come." Think of a few people you know who are enterprising. Think of people in the news, in your office, in your neighborhood. What do these people have in common? Well, they're probably always on the go, developing a plan, following a plan, working the plan until it fits. They're probably very resourceful, never letting anything get in their way. They probably don't understand the word no when it applies to their visions of the future. And when faced with a problem, they probably say, "Let's figure out a way to make it work instead of." It won't work. enterprising people always see the future in the present. Enterprising people will always find a way to take advantage of a situation, not be burdened by it. And enterprising people aren't lazy. They don't wait for opportunities to come to them, they go after the opportunities. Enterprise means always finding a way to keep yourself actively working towards your ambition. Enterprise requires two things. The first is creativity. You need creativity to see what's out there and to shape it to your advantage. You need creativity to look at the world a little differently. You need creativity to take a different approach, to be different. What goes hand in hand with the creativity of enterprise is the second requirement, the courage to be creative. You need courage to see things differently, courage to go against the crowd, courage to take a different approach, courage to stand alone if you have to, courage to choose activity over inactivity. How much activity you pursue generally relates to how you feel about yourself. How valuable are you? What could you do if you had all the skills, if you took the classes, read the books, and burned the midnight oil? What could you do? What true value could you develop? This is a good exercise. Ask yourself, what could I become? What could I really do in the marketplace? In enterprise, family, home, experience, love, friendship, marriage? How valuable could I become? Am I valuable enough to work on what's not working so I can reach my full capacity? If I'm operating at 20%, what could I possibly do with the other 80%? Once you start understanding how valuable you are, you will have many new experiences. That's why the understanding of self-worth plays a major role in our ability to be enterprising. Our self-worth makes the difference between being lazy and being active. If we don't feel good about ourselves, we won't feel good about our lives. And if we don't feel good about our lives, we won't be very interested in looking for opportunities. So you see, being enterprising doesn't just relate to the ability to make money. Being enterprising also means feeling good enough about yourself, having enough self-worth to want to seek advantages and opportunities that will make a difference in your future. Enterprise is always better than ease. Every time we choose to do less than we possibly can, it affects our self-confidence. If we keep doing a little less every day, we are also becoming a little less every day. Can you imagine what you'd end up being after 10 years of doing a little less every day? It's devastating. Think about it. Doing less could ruin your life. You can reverse this process by using your self-direction, your self-reliance, your self-discipline. You can alter your life by doing a little more each day. Pretty soon, you'll develop a new habit of doing rather than not doing. And what will days and weeks and months of doing a little more ultimately do for you? It will increase your confidence, your courage, your creativity, and your self-worth, your enterprising nature. Enjoying true business success requires you to set careful priorities. Sometimes priorities are determined by the season. For a farmer, the season dictates his most important activities. During the spring, a farmer must work around the clock, burn the midnight oil, and keep the equipment running because he only has this small window of time for the planting of his crops. One of the difficulties of living in an industrialized society is the loss of the sense of seasons, when to pour it on, when to ease back, when to take advantage. It's easy to keep going from 9 to 5, year in and year out, and lose a natural sense of priorities and appropriate time. Don't let one year just blend into the next. Keep an eye on your own seasons, lest you lose track of values and substance. Part of setting priorities is learning to separate major activities from minor activities. This is a whole skill in itself. But once you have learned it, it will pay dividends you won't believe. So learn to put everything on your mental scales to be fully weighed before you spend time or money. And here's a good question to ask yourself constantly. Is this a major or minor activity? By asking that question, you will reduce the amazingly natural tendency to spend major time on minor things. In sales training, we are taught that major time is the time spent in the presence of the prospect. while minor time is the time spent on the way to the prospect. If you're not careful, you will spend more time on the way to than in the presence of. So in sales, we teach, don't go across town until you've gone across the street. Wouldn't it be wise to ask yourself, how much time am I spending in the presence of, and how much time on the way to? Majors and minors. What a great discipline to exercise. You also don't want to spend minor time on major things. It's easy to get values mixed up. If a man spends 3 hours watching TV and only 30 minutes playing with his kids, something is probably out of line there, right? Don't spend major money on minor things. If you spend more on candy than on programs or books, wouldn't that be foolish? So set careful priorities. Do it like your life depends on it, because it does.